Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning, 6:36 on this, the Faith Radio Network, and we appreciate you listening. Thank you for your support of what we do, by the way. You can come on board anytime and join what we do at myfaithradio.com. Raising bully-proof kids. Does that sound like an attractive idea to you? Well, with students all across the country heading back to school, bullying is top of mind for a lot of us. And how to keep our kids out of bullying scenarios, either as bullies or victims of bullies, that's top of mind for a lot of us as well. Paul Coughlin has authored the book, Raising Bully-Proof Kids. He says, with a little help, parents can raise assertive, confident, bully-proof children. He joins us on the guest line now. Paul Coughlin, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this morning.
It is great to be with you. Thank you.
With a little help, parents can raise assertive, confident kids. A lot of us, that sounds very attractive because we know we're lacking in that area. Tell us what you perceived about parenting and kids across the country that prompted you to write this book.
Well, the number one character trait that is going to make a kid a target of bullying is that they're non-assertive. They just don't exert their will much, and they kind of expect the world to come to them. For example, they expect other people to forge friendships with them as opposed to extending themselves and making friends with other people. And this is really important because friendships are the frontline defense against bullying. Mm-hmm. A kid who has one to three good friends in a school setting, far less likely to be bullied. And what we found out here at the Protectors is that many of the kids who were being pushed around and bullied at school, whether that be public school or private Christian school, we work in both schools, they just didn't have a lot of friends. And again, they were non-assertive by nature. And some of that, though not all of it, comes down to parenting style. So we wrote a book and a number of resources to help parents help their children to be more assertive.
Very interesting. Now, does that come as a shock to some people that there's bullying that even goes on in the context of private Christian schools?
Sadly, it does. And, those days are ending. I'm glad to say America, and actually much of the world, is waking up. We can no longer live by this myth that bullying doesn't happen in our school. Bullying happens wherever kids gather, whether it be public school, private school, Awana, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Sunday school. We have numerous letters from parents who won't go to church anymore because of their child being bullied. So, and one of the reasons why we have this belief is we think bullying is a school problem and that schools don't want to admit it. In reality, bullying is a cultural problem, and we need a community. We need people of goodwill to come together and battle it. Bullying takes place in every school with more than, say, 10 to 20 students, but it's so predatory and covert that most in authority, they just don't see it.
Boy, and as I listen to you talk about this and so many other thoughtful adults around the country who have taken up this issue, I wish you'd been around when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I mean, I think a lot of us. I think a lot of us in the adult population relate to this. You've studied this. You understand this, Paul Coughlin, better than most. But a lot of us relate to this, either having been a bully or the victim of bullying back when we were kids. But adults in our parents' generation, perhaps, just weren't onto it the way we are today quite as much. Paul Coughlin has authored the book Raising Bully-Proof Kids. Paul, talk to us, if you would, please, about how this, this passivity that creates this open invitation for bullying, how is it different among boys and girls? Can you separate it according to the genders?
You can to some degree. There's a tremendous amount of overlap. In fact, most of it overlaps, but there can be some distinctions. For example, girls will use relational aggression more than boys. The boys use it as well. And what does that look like? it largely poisons the reputation of another girl.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a lady named Jennifer LaFleur. Now she's a psychologist who helps kids who are targets. But when a new girl moved into her classroom, I believe she was in fourth grade, she wrote up a contract and had 10 other girls, all the other girls in the class, sign it saying that they would hate the new girl and never be her friend. All 10 of the girls signed it. All 10 signed it. And so that's an extreme example of relational aggression. It's usually done through gossip and innuendo. Going after the person's sexual purity is a big one for girls. Boys tend to be at least a little more straightforward in their bullying. They're still covert, but theirs is a little more direct.
Mm. Paul Coughlin's new book, Raising Bully-Proof Kids. That's what we're talking about. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. You spend a fair amount of column space, if you will, and time writing about virtue among children and trying to inculcate virtue in them, as well as enabling them to be confident and assertive, appropriately so. Tell us about the virtue component of all of this.
Yes, and this is an interesting one, I think, for the faith community, for the Christian community in particular. I don't think we know what to do with the virtue of courage, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
We have found that it's the lack of courage that causes many bystanders to not help a target when it comes to bullying. So, for example, out of 100 kids who see bullying take place, only about 13 of them will actually help the target, this person in great need. About 40 to 60 will actually join the bully in one form or another. And let's be clear here, that includes Christian kids.
Yeah.
Those are kids in Christian schools. We have found that the reason why is that most kids who see bullying take place, they know it's wrong. So it's not a matter of awareness. They know it's wrong. It's also not a matter of sympathy and empathy. Most of them have sympathy and empathy for that kid who is unfairly treated. What we're lacking is the courage to do the right thing, afraid. And that's a pretty good definition of courage. So we've spent a good amount of time studying courage. What is it? What grows it? What diminishes it? And we have found that many of the luminaries throughout history, C.S. Lewis, Aquinas, Aristotle, Churchill, Maya Angelou, Desmond Tutu, Abraham Lincoln, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
We have found that these people have argued pretty persuasively that courage is the virtue that underpins all other virtues.
Isn't
so, for example,
something?
If we want to be compassionate, we really can't be compassionate consistently without courage. So we emphasize courage to change what we call the theater of bullying, and in the process, grow character and faith and leadership for life.
Paul Coughlin, author of the book Raising Bully-Proof Kids, something that's top of mind and probably should be, even if it's not, as kids head back to school. Paul, stand by. We'll continue in just a moment. We've got some more questions about this all-important book. We'll get to that in just a moment. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. It's Friday. Welcome to it. I'm Austin Hill. It's now 6:46. Bullying. It's a reality, whether we're talking about young adults and kids who are Christians or not Christians. Raising Bully-Proof Kids is the book authored by my guest, Paul Coughlin. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Paul, you note in your book that you seek to paint a pretty clear picture of who Jesus was and who Jesus is, and you illuminate not just the meek and mild side of Christ, but also the stronger attributes of our Savior. Tell us what that has to do with prepping people, educating people about bullying.
Yes, unfortunately, we have so many letters and stories from parents who believe that their child should just take this horrible abuse, thinking that they're being Christ-like. You know, what's interesting is that in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, so they will be called children of God. And if you look closer into that scripture, what he's really not talking about pacifism there. He's actually talking about people who aggressively resolve conflict. And that's really what we need in this situation. We need kids to step up and really fight on behalf of justice. And we do that with love, but we also do it with truth. We do it with backbone. And it's not going to change unless we do that. And the faith community, the Christian community in particular, really needs to reevaluate its view of using redemptive force, because that's really what's needed in what we call the theater of bullying. Mm-hmm. Bullies don't listen to peace, love, and understanding. Serial bullies do not. They listen to power. They listen to consequences. And we often think that the first Christian response, you know, to bullying is compassion toward the bully, when in reality, in many cases, many times, compassion toward a bully is cruelty to the target. I believe, and many others as well, is that God's heart is for justice first. We need to bring justice to that poor child. I was recently in Oklahoma City and at a Christian school. As I got picked up from the airport, the principal says, hey, we have a kid who will not come to school today. And I, you know, you can sense these things after a while. I said, is it due to bullying? He goes, yeah, I think it is. And I said, well, I want to meet with him. And so he was so scared, he wouldn't even meet me at my hotel. We had to go to his house. He wouldn't even come out of his room. And when he came out of his room, he was catatonic. He could barely talk. He had had an anxiety attack for probably well over a week. He was exhausted and he was fatigued. And that kid needs protection. That kid needs assurance. That kid needs a Christian to go talk to the kids who are making his life miserable for being slightly overweight and say, this isn't happening anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you're describing this, Paul, I'm wondering, where were mom and dad? Where were the parents at in that process?
Well, there isn't much they can, well, let's see, in regard to the parent, that's a great question.
That might be a topic for another interview. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm listening to what you're describing, you know, the need for somebody to step up and be the protector, the defender. And I guess where I'm going with that in my mind is that moms and dads, we as parents, we have to be engaged in this process. We don't just drop the kids at the school school doorstep and dismiss ourselves from it.
That is a great point. Here's the problem. We know that in abuse in general, and that's what bullying is. It is fundamentally abuse. It's assault, and usually it's psychological assault. We know that only about 10% of abuse victims ever talk. And that's what we have in the theater of bullying as well. They don't talk. They don't tell their parents. They feel great shame. It's false shame. But they feel great self-recrimination for what's happening. They believe they're part of the problem. And as a result, they're ashamed of who they are because they're being treated in this fashion. So in many cases, the parents don't know. And in many cases, the parents don't know their children are bullying either. If you suspect your child is a bully, one of the things to look for is they constantly put other people down. They're constantly being derogatory about the nature and being of other people, not about what they do, but by their core identity, who other people are. Your average bully believes they're superior to other people. Therefore, other people deserve to be treated with disdain and contempt. For example, this boy, slightly overweight, well, fat people don't deserve full respect. And as a result, they deserve this awful treatment. That is how your average bully thinks.
Raising Bullyproof Kids. That's the title of the book. Paul Coughlin is the author. We've got this info for you on our website at myfaithradio.com. Paul, you're engaged in some very, very important work. We sure appreciate your availability to us today, and I hope we can hook up again very, very soon as the school year progresses. This is not something that we just want to think about, hey, when the kids are heading back to school, but we want to be mindful of this throughout the school year. Looking just between now and the end of the year, and now in the end of this first semester, so to speak, give us a word of wisdom to all parents, all teachers, anybody who's involved with the educating of children. Just something to watch for, something to look for, something to be mindful of with our students between now and the end of the year, if you would.
Yeah, if we're serious about bullying, about diminishing what is now the number one form of child abuse in the nation, the number one concern of both parents and students, bullying, we must realize that it is not a school problem. it is a cultural problem, because meanness and unkindness and even cruelty are currency in youth culture, and that includes Christian youth culture as well. It's a little better in church settings, but it's still there. We are still influenced by this false currency. We must make moral courage currency in our youth cultures, where a bystander becomes a alongside stander, which is a pretty scary thing to do. We train mm-hmm. kids how to do that. And when they do, we must praise them. We must make courage currency. Schools alone cannot and will never solve this problem on their own. They need people of goodwill. Parents are the first line of defense against bullying. Oftentimes when we speak at schools, in reality, parent night is the most important night, because we must expect our child to intervene, not someone else's child, but our child, because bullies don't listen to adults that much, but they do listen to their peers. And if their peers denounce their behavior, they will change.
Very good. Paul Coughlin, Raising Bully-Proof Kids. We've got the book and its info on our website, myfaithradio.com. Paul, thanks as always. Good to talk to you. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
6:53, it's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.